try. At this time, I'd like to call to order the special meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees. This is a zoning meeting, January 28, 2019. Roll call, Joe.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt.
Present.
Ms. Goodman.
Present.
Okay, we have everyone is in attendance. Mr. Myers will not be with us tonight, so Joe will be playing the role of secretary slash secretary, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah, and other duties as assigned. Also present, though, is Joe Schaefer, Director of Development and Zoning. This meeting of the Genoa Township Trustees will be recorded. The meeting audio and written minutes are available on Genoa Township's website at www.genoatwp.com or by contacting Genoa's fiscal office. Public comment will be limited to 3 minutes per person, and there is no yielding of time. This time, the case number, which we are discussing tonight, is case number ZC-2018-04, Gracie's Place Rezoning and Preliminary Development Plan, continued hearing from November 7, 2018. And I have called the meeting to order at 6:30 p.m. At this time, I will read the legal notice, but I would like to remind folks, if anyone would like to speak on this matter, they are to sign in, and then when we get ready for, after I read the public notice, and we'll swear you in. At this time, I will read the official public notice. Vince Romanelli requesting approval of a zoning map amendment and preliminary development plan to construct 18 single-family homes on approximately 9.54 acres, covering three parcels located at 6615, 6625, and 6663 South Old 3C Highway, immediately north of Orchard Lakes, currently zoned suburban residential, SR, seeking rezoning to planned residential, PRD, also known as Gracie's Place, ZC case number 2018-04, and this hearing tonight is continued from November 7, 2018. So at this time, anyone who would like to make a comment tonight, you're not obligated to, but if you would like to make comment, please stand at this time, raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you very much. The following exhibits, which were originally noted on September 26, 2018, will be and updated as follows. Exhibit E will now refer to revised application and plans received November 30th, 2018. Exhibit I will now refer to staff technical review dated January 18, 2019 for January 28th, 2019. Exhibit J will now refer to staff memo and attachments dated January 18, 2019 for January 28, 2019. Exhibit K will now refer to all public comments received between May 14, 2018 and January 28, 2019. All other exhibits previously entered into the record shall remain as previously noted. So at this time, I will ask for a staff report. Joe Schaefer on behalf of Genoa Township and Zoning Department.
Sir, so seeing how this is a continued hearing, I will, I'm not going to go through the whole memorandum. I'll only focus on the changes. Obviously, Grace's Place, South Old 3C Highway, east side of the road, north of Orchard Lakes Development. We're all very familiar with it at this point. During one of the previous reviews, there was noted that some of the utility letters had been out of date. They have provided us updated letters. So just noting that for the record. There was a little bit of sort of pushing and pulling of the design to try to accommodate some of the open space and some of the concerns that were brought up during the November meeting. So what that resulted in partially is a minimum open space calculation that is now 60% of the development, or otherwise 5.39 acres, and a minimum common open space proposal that is 50% of the development, which equates out to 4.48 acres. So What you also will see there is there's actually been another divergence request added. I'm going to jump into that real quick because it relates to the information in the table on the memorandum. So as you know, there's already a divergence request to go below the 25-acre minimum for a PRD rezoning, and then obviously there has been the density request, which was to go from 2.2 up to 2.4. This third request that's been, divergence request that's been added is a divergence request to allow for a portion of the proposed stormwater detention basin to count towards the site's common open space requirements. So, and I believe they're looking for about 25% of that pond to count towards that open space requirement, which is 50% of the gross acreage, and then I provide you the calculation on how we got to that 4.48. The applicant's justification for the request was included in the revised material they submitted on November 30th. And then just why we are talking about divergences, because if they're granted this divergence for to count the pond towards the open space, they know they can now benefit from the conservation development standards, which means they would no longer need the divergence to allow for up to 100% of cluster housing in a non-conservation development project. So with that, I will note that should change through the course of the meeting and you need to go back and cite the divergences later, and I'm not sure this is reflected in your script, so this is important to note, that divergence C on page 6 of 8, say you don't agree with divergence D, but you're okay with the development, you would then need to go back and include divergence C if the applicant wants to bring that back into the project. Does that make sense? I know it's a little... sounds a little bit convoluted, because if you don't give them the credit for the pond towards the open space, they can't meet the conservation development standards, open space standards, which means that cluster development requirement comes back into play as a regulation.
So what you're saying is if D is denied...
If you're not in favor of D, or through the course of conversation the applicant rescinds D...
Right, then we need to come back up.
Then C needs to come be reactivated. If that's the track we go down.
Now, when you say reactivated, are you saying the line?
Theoretically, the applicant should be the one who makes that change on the record that they wish to rescind one divergence and add back in.
But Joe, that would also impact the density.
Correct, yeah. So then it would, yes, and there's a water flow effect of that, because then the density divergence, right now, if the open space divergence is granted, they can utilize the conservation development standards to be. Their density divergence request would be to go from 2.2 to 2.4. If that, again, that pond open space request goes away, they can't use the conservation development standard density allotment. It would go back down to the 1.8, so then the density divergence would be a request from 1.8 to 2.2. So I know that's very technical, and I'm sure I will end up having to talk through that again, but I wanted to get that on the record. And I appreciate Mr. Fisher pointing that out about the deck. That's an important component to this. So with that, I'll roll back through the changes real quick. So the proposed density is still 2.45 units per net developable acre. Again, if the pond divergence is granted, the density divergence would be to go from 2.2 to 2.45. If the pond divergence, in essence, isn't granted, that density divergence request would be to go from 1.8 to 2.45.
So either case, it would be 2.45.
Yes.
It's just
yes.
a matter
That's,
of...
Yes, it's a matter of how you organize itself. It on the paper to some degree.
Right. Okay.
So minimum, and again, you see on minimum single-family dwelling percentage and maximum cluster housing percentages, I have the same notes there of if they qualify for conservation development standards, they are allowed to do up to 100% cluster without needing divergence. If they don't qualify for conservation development standards, they're going to need a divergence to go from the 65% single-family home down to the 0%, and to go from the 35% cluster housing up to the 100%. And then you see the same type of note there for the open space calculations. So you repeat the same information there a couple times. In regards to the dimensions of some of the plan themselves, the typical building depth is now 80 feet. That's a change from the last plan the trustees saw. The minimum side yard between dwellings is now 13 feet. That's a change from what the trustees last saw. And the side yard limited common element area is now 6.5 feet. That is also a change from what the trustees saw. There also, I believe, was a slight, it looked like to me, a slight change in sort of where that driveway punches out onto South Old 3C. At least, I think it used to sort of straddle two properties, and now it looks like it's primarily just in front of that one. But I'll let the applicant, though I have obviously an opportunity to speak to some of these, so I'm sure they can provide some clarification on a couple of these items. There was a note that graphic depictions of South Old 3C Highway road improvements on the site drawings had been updated to reflect the latest information from the county in regards to those improvements. The parking space here at the cul-de-sac was reduced from 6 spaces down to 4 spaces, and that was a result of one of my requests was for them to provide an ADA accessible parking space in that lot. So in order to do that, they obviously had a finite space to squeeze that in, so they got rid of 2 spaces so they could fit the ADA space plus the van accessible striping in. Dimension has been added to the site plan and street dimension detail to indicate that at least 18 feet of driveway depth will be available between the garage and the sidewalk to park 2 cars side by side. And I know there was some concern and discussion about that in November 7th. Already detailed the changes in the divergences. Talked about the handicap parking space. So, should the trustees make a motion to reject the Zoning Commission's recommendation and thus approve the development, the motion should note that the board is approving the plan with modifications because the plan being voted on this evening has been revised and thus is different from the plan the Zoning Commission voted on. And as notes, staff verbally discussed with the prosecutor's office whether the trustees could remand the revised plan back to the Zoning Commission for further review, and it was determined that the revised code does not give the trustees that authority. As such, remanding the plan back to the commission is not a recommended action. Trustees' actions are limited to approve with modifications, deny, or continue. And then, obviously, should the request for rezoning be approved, the applicant will be required to obtain all their approvals, and so on and so forth, from all the county agencies and whatnot. That's the standard language there. In regards to the technical review, I don't believe there was any new comments except for those just sort of reflecting the divergence items, which I've already discussed ad nauseum with the board, and the rest of it's just sort of updating all the timelines and meeting dates and whatnot. And then, if you recall, I sort of have previously provided the board a table comparing sort of what the PRD plan is proposing versus what the alternate SR subdivision plan would look like, and I've just updated that to reflect all the latest numbers. So I won't go through all of that. I'll have probably ample opportunity to review it. So unless there's any questions, I will conclude my review and turn it back over to you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Schaefer. Here. All right, we will now proceed into the applicant's presentation for their representative. Dave?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Board of Trustees, David Fisher, Kephart Fisher here on behalf of the applicant. I've also got Joe Luby here up with me and Johnny Romanelli is out in the audience if there are questions that he can answer as well. So hopefully we're full complement to answer any questions you might have. I think we've gone through this application in pretty deep detail, so I want to make sure we reserve time principally for your comments and questions and comments and questions that may come from the audience tonight. I think that Mr. Schaefer's always did a great job of going through the important issues. He pointed out, Mr. D'Antonio, if you recall, you had some issues about parking and driveways, and I think we've given some additional dimension to hopefully give you assurance that we've addressed those concerns you had. We did go back. We spent a significant amount of time on the plan to try to get to the point where we could deal with the now 18 units using conservation development standards, which, as Mr. Schaefer noted, ended up having us reduce divergence requests by one. I know there's always a concern about how many divergences we're being asked for. My cohort up here, Mr. Luby, continues to tell me we don't really need the divergence for the pond But we're doing it out of an abundance of caution because, as we all know, once this matter leaves this forum, assuming it would be approved, and goes into final engineering, we always have the county engineer get involved and his people look at things, and there's a concern that we could end up, even though we've got the pond properly sized now, to use conservation development standards, there's a concern that through some engineering issues that arose at that point, we may need to do that calculation differently. Additionally, there's some new stormwater standards coming into effect. Winjo?
I think they've started this year.
Okay.
But so, I haven't been through it yet to know exactly how big of an impact it is.
So we're trying to be completely above board with you as the trustees to say we don't think we need that divergence, but we're planning ahead, and it's our view in doing so that it's not really just a pond. It is an amenity. It is going to have, if you recall, one of the residents was concerned about mosquitoes, and so we did agree to put a fountain in the pond. So it's more than just a typical retention pond. It's going to serve a greater purpose than that. Based upon that, Mr. Schaefer's right about the three divergences we need to get below the 25 acres, to go at a higher density than the 2.2 up to 2.45, and the pond if we need it. But once again, the pond is really, it's questionable whether we're going to need it. As you know, we've been at this for a number of months now. Thank you for the accommodation to allow us to postpone this hearing until tonight for various scheduling purposes. There's been a lot of conversation at all levels through the Zoning Commission, at the trustees, with residents about density, and we know that is always the principal buzzword in Genoa Township. And we understand and appreciate that both from the trustees' perspective as well as the Zoning Commission's perspective and the residents' perspective. I would submit to you, though, that this zoning request stands apart from many others for several reasons. First of all, the property is already zoned to allow 14 units to be built there under the current zoning classification. So what we're asking for are four more units. But in return for that, we think the township and its residents are getting a lot in return for that four-unit addition. And here's what you're getting. You're getting a planned development where the site topography will be better preserved in terms of trees and open space and that sort of thing. You're getting commitments to neighbors in terms of a lot of the things the neighbors ask for, as far as things like the pond I just mentioned and aerating it so that bugs didn't get there, and dealing with some of the dead trees at the south end of the site, dealing with the trees at the north end of the site that bound some of the property owners that I see here tonight that have been at some of the other hearings. You're getting a high-quality Romanelli Union-built development with empty nester homes that have less traffic, that's a proven fact, have less kids in schools, that's a proven fact. So I would submit to you and to everybody here tonight that this really isn't about density as much as it's about quality and the kind of development that you want to see occurring in an ongoing basis in Genoa Township. Because we can do the 14 lots, and we will do the 14 lots, and in doing so, we'll just put your standard run-of-the-mill subdivision in. We'll bring the pans and the dozers out there, and we'll clear-cut the site, and we'll put in the streets, and we'll put drainage along the perimeter. We'll do everything we're legally required to do, and we'll build 14 larger family-style homes of a lower price point that will generate families in that area of the township. Alternatively, if you see your way fit to approve of this zoning, what you're going to get is the things I just mentioned. You're going to get a much higher quality development. You're going to get a planned development. You're going to have a lot more oversight in terms of how that development occurs and how it goes into place. People like Mr. Kevin, can't think of his name, across the street, we've offered him buffering. We've tried to do everything we could to accommodate and be responsible not only to the township as a whole, but also to the residents in the nearby area that have said, we'd like to see these things occur in that area. So while this is about density, and yes, we're asking for a density variance, I would submit to you this is really about the quality of development that you want to see ongoing for the residents of Genoa Township. And with that, I'll conclude my remarks. Joe, do you have anything to add? Thank you.
Thank you, David, Joe. So at this time, we will ask individuals who have been sworn in if they would be like to come up and make a public comment. I would just remind you, we try to keep it to 3 minutes. We don't have a large crowd here tonight, but just to maintain consistency, we'd like to try to keep it to 3 minutes. And if you would direct the comments. If someone can fix my phone, I'll tell you why I keep getting a Menards ad every time I touch it. I don't know, but that'll be worth some points. So anyhow, at this time, if you would come forward, state your name and address, and then proceed. So whoever wants to go first, don't be bashful.
I'm Robert Dunkel. I live at 6610 Charles Road, and my lot is the two lots that are the furthest to the right.
Okay.
Nope, next one over, that's where the red dot is. Those are my lots right there, so it does affect me. Mm-hmm. I will be able to see it because those, the other lots are, there's basically no trees. There are a few, but none. So with that in mind, as a resident of the township, you know, I feel that we have a zoning code and that it should be followed, but I'm not smart enough to understand, but I understand there's some kind of a controversy as to whether this these three parcels fit in our current zoning codes. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, I really like this plan. I think it fits in the area because all the homes on Charles Road are single story. Mm-hmm. Now, the ones on the other side here on the bottom of the screen, those are all two-story. But my contention is I don't want to see a two-story home looking over into my back 40 and that. So I really like this plan. I think the developers have really gone overboard. I know I've talked to them a couple times about issues, and they've accommodated my concerns in that. So as far as I'm concerned, I would hope the trustees would approve this plan. And, you know, I'm an empty nester now myself, and I'm getting old enough to where my 2 acres are starting to wear me down. And I'm seriously thinking that if this goes through, I might even purchase a plot. So that's my comments. Thank you.
Mr. Dunkel, if I could, and, you know, if there's any questions from the trustees or anything, and we aren't here to put you on a spot or, you know, mm-hmm. anything like that, but, you know, there are some larger questions, I think, that I know personally, and I'm speaking for myself, that I'm wrestling with this development. Mm-hmm. I agree, and I stated it at the last meeting, this is the type of development I like to see. I mean, I think it's there's a market for it, as you've verified. Mm-hmm. I live in a development that would probably be very similar to this already, about the same densities. Why do you think that there is the concern in the township about what people are defining as high density, and that this is higher density than what is allowed for in the zoning yes. resolution? And how do you think we should be looking at that issue, and why do you think that's happening as it relates to, you know, this development? So
I have a problem with the word high density.
Yeah, thank you. So do I.
In that there, you know, because to me, if I don't have 20 feet between my neighbor's property, that's high density to me. I like neighbors, but I don't want them on top of me.
Sure.
And that, so I have a problem with the word high density. And that, with this in mind, being an empty nester community, I don't think the building spacing, it should be considered high density. For one thing, as I understand, this is going to be kind of a condo association where the grass is going to be taken care of, the streets are going to be taken care of, things like this here. So, plus, you know, with the older generation like me, walking that 20 feet between my house and my next door neighbors is starting to become a problem. And that there, the old arthritis is starting to get to me. So the other couple things that I like to mention is, with this being a condo association, that street is not a township street. So the township doesn't have to worry about maintenance, upkeep of it, snow removal, things like that. So that's a plus for the township, because the township's still going to be getting money from those, you know, from all those property owners. Another thing is, with the empty nesters, there's usually not going to be any young kids there that are living. So the school district is also going to be profiting, where they're not going to have the kids that would be generated from the 14 regular homes, but they still will be getting the school taxes. So the school district is also profiting. So with those, but you know, that there doesn't affect me because I'm still paying my taxes no matter where. But I still like this here overall plan versus the 14 regular homes.
Okay. Very good.
Did I answer your question?
You did very well. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you.
I appreciate
Any
it.
Any other?
I would just also like to mention, you did testify at the Zoning Commission hearing on this issue, and I appreciate that, because that's something I want to talk about a little later, and you raised an issue regarding the fence and I think the drainage area.
Yes. So. Yeah, those were the concerns that I had with the developer, and they have assured me that it will be taken care
of. Very good. Thank you very much. Next.
I'm Rod Ferguson, 6566 Charles Road. This is our, sixth meeting with this? So I feel a lot of it has already been addressed. At the beginning of the meeting, was discussed some of the changes that I don't fully understand as far as the difference between this and what was up last meeting. But I have a couple concerns, and I just feel I would like to say I realize that you guys have spent a lot of effort in order to accommodate the neighbors and everything, but I personally feel the bottom line is this was three parcels that were purchased that didn't really have the ability to go on the market under a reasonable market value to be have the existing homes kept up and maintained in the township, keep it what it was. You know, Grace's place, it was a farmhouse. I don't know the exact acreage, but that was purchased as an investment, and then that property was rented. So, and that didn't go up for sale, as far as I know, to just for a homeowner to buy. So then the years that it was rented, the people, they're renters, they don't care. They don't care that they're shooting guns behind their property, and it's going through the trees behind us. But my concern is, this is all for money. It's all, they're doing this for a return on their investment. We can discuss in detail how much we're trying to accommodate neighbors, but the reason they want 18 houses is to make more money than if they put 14 houses on it. As far as the clear cut and level it, I don't think that's going to happen, because I feel that Genoa Township is a good place to live. It's in high demand. It has good school districts. We have good fire. We have good police. That's not going to happen. You want to have a development where there's some mature trees and nice lots, and I think it'll sell too. The problem is if it goes with how it currently is zoned, the return on their investment is a lot slower. It requires building a nice big house on a decent amount of land, and then they have to build it and then sell it. And it doesn't come as quick as what this would be. And then also part of my concern is the sacrifices on the setback, the sacrifices to where the building is in relationship to the road. We talked about whether or not people can even park on the road, whether or not cars will fit in the driveway. Now, I know that this I'm sorry, what's your name?
David.
I know that David said that was addressed, but is it addressed in just width? Can a car actually fit in the driveway? As a resident here in Genoa, I'm not leaving. My next move hopefully will be the grave, but I don't want today's fix to be tomorrow's problem. In 10 years from now, if the demand for over 55 living goes away and then younger people start buying it, there's nothing that prevents that. But younger families are going to buy it, and then they're going to need to park, and then there's still going to be traffic in and out. So I just want the big picture kind of looked at. And you know, this is just like, it's like three properties are bought, and then all of a sudden we're looking at this. And if there's never a no, then it's just going to be over and over and over again.
So and you also testified at the original Zoning Commission. I think most of your issues dealt with the drainage issue, stormwater.
Yeah,
so, and I think that's probably been resolved, I believe.
Yes.
So if I understand you correctly, Mr. Ferguson, you would be in favor more of the 14 houses as opposed to the 18 if houses have to be built there at all. Is that true or not?
True.
Okay. Want to make sure I yes. following
sure.
along here. Okay, very good. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Ferguson.
Thank you.
Next.
Hi, Sherry Heinrich, 5960 Freeman Road, and I'm not one of the residents in proximity, but I am a 5-year resident of Genoa Township. And as our previous resident has stated, I would like to see lower density. However, I have heard that this developer has been working with the residents and has tried to accommodate us to keep more of the trees. And having experienced other builds where developers have gone in and done clear cutting, I am appreciative of the fact that they would try to accommodate and leave as many of the trees as they could. I have a question about the stormwater or the retention pond. Wondering from a historic standpoint, if any of us have the data, have we done this kind of a variance in the past where we say up to 25% of the open space may be part of the stormwater maintenance? I know you're saying that that is not something that is a given, that right now it's being requested more as a security in case the engineer does require a bigger retention pond, and seeing that there are changes coming apparently to the stormwater management from the Delaware County. So that's my question for the information. Then, Trustee Gephardt, you had asked a generic question about why the township might have concern about density and how this property is in comparison. I come late to the game of the earlier property that you, I believe, were asking about, and that would be the Benalcazar property. And I think in that case, in my personal opinion, and I'm not speaking for the township, what I saw was a developer who is not willing to work with the residents. That I heard residents expressed concern, and then the developer was not willing to work with them. In addition, and I know that this has been said, that you cannot go by zones 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and apparently we don't have a legal footing for that, but that property that was in question before was also in an area that was much less populated. So that would have been the first foothold of a bigger community being put onto that 43 acres. So that would be my reason why I was not in favor of that property. But having heard how this developer is trying to work with the community, although I don't want the density, I heard enough residents that were in proximity saying that they were okay with the development and that they can live with it. therefore I would be more in favor of the 18 houses there that are kept at a smaller footprint.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just to clarify the the other development, there are at least two other, the Vinmar, and it depends on how you slice and dice that, developments that were PRD, planned residential developments, in planning area four. It would be that area basically across from O3C from this
right.
subject property. So this wouldn't be the first PRD up in planning area four that we referenced before. But it would be different, but it would not be the first change in zoning for those areas.
For this property?
This property, this is different. I mean, it's a suburban residential currently, and that's why they could build 14 houses and just
okay.
build them, you know. What they're doing is changing to a PRD development.
Okay, so thank you for clarifying
yeah.
that on the zoning, on the Region 4.
Yeah, and there is a PRD, the Orchard Lakes Estates, which is immediately south, is also a PRD, and then if you cross over actually on Mount Royal, part of that is also condominiums at a higher density too. So, you know, that's the similarities, but there's also differences
right.
Between those two developments. So, they both, the other difference is the divergence and the density levels of this proposed plan, Gracie's Place, does exceed the zoning resolution as well as the comp plan for planning area one. In planning area four, it exceeded the comp plan, but it did not exceed the zoning resolution in planning area four. So there are some differences there as well.
Okay. And how does it put us on legal footing then if we have a lawsuit from the Benalcazar property?
That's hard to tell. We actually have a lawsuit that has been filed against the township, and I would rather not get into I really can't get into the details of that at this point in time. It is public document, if you're interested. But the township has been sued. Basically.
I'm asking more from a perspective of if we did say yes to this property, does it become one more piece of ammunition for that lawsuit?
We just have to look at each individual development on its own and how it applies, how the zoning resolution applies to that development. Whether it has an impact or not, I can't say. It may or it may not. But I think as long as we're following the zoning resolution and the densities and those the components within that, it puts us on a little more firmer ground, possibly.
Okay.
But I can't say for sure.
Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And I believe there was a question about the divergence.
Yes.
Yes.
For the stormwater.
And the trustees can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't recall that request in my time here in the office, which is a little over 3 years. Trustee Goodman's been on the zoning commission, and Trustee Gebhardt's been around since, 2009, and Trustee D'Antonio's entering his fourth year, so I'm sure they could jump in, but I don't recall that request ever.
And I've not seen that as a member of the zoning commission or as a trustee, so no, this would be a first that I recall.
Thank you.
But I would say I think over the years the code changed.
That's
I think
that's
the code
that's
used
quite
to exclude stormwater management.
Yeah, the code has been amended over the years.
So normal consequence of things over the years.
Right. And as you've stated, you are adding the fountain at the request of the residents, so you're turning it into a partial amenity as well.
And we only ask for that with an abundance of caution.
Right.
And we think right now if the engineering held up and the stormwater management regs didn't change, that we wouldn't.
Right.
Sherry, if I could, again,
yes.
You're on Tussock, is it?
No, I'm on Freeman.
Freeman, I'm sorry, Freeman.
Which is why I say I'm not in proximity to this development,
yeah.
But having seen a 5-acre property turn into, I think it is 13 houses, I do appreciate how density changes, and it changes the landscape, in my book, significantly.
And see, I think you're probably referring to London Crossing.
I think the name might be Elise, but I'm not sure what the development name is.
Elise, I think, is the street name. The
yeah.
subdivision is London Crossing.
The one sort of across from the park.
The park, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's London Crossing.
And was that a suburban residential? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a Romanelli used suburban residential. So they, instead of going through the PRD process like this, just took advantage of the existing zoning. I don't believe that was rezoned SR. I think that was already there. And then just did a conventional, what I call a conventional subdivision, where they don't have to go through the zoning commission and the trustees. They just go through a simple platting process through the county. The township staff gets to look at it, but the board doesn't get to vote on that.
That's that one street subdivision that goes north off of Green.
Yep, north side of Green. Yep,
that's right.
And those are very nice homes.
They're beautiful homes, but again, it changes the landscape, and being the downstream resident who now has gully washers every other big rain,
I fully understand, but my point is that that's zoned suburban residential. The same request that this application is currently zoned residential.
Right.
And that residential was not clear cut and swales put in and very nice homes,
This is a different treatment,
that's
right.
The other gentleman who spoke, Rob, I believe, as he has stated, that I agree with him that I don't think that this property will be clear cut and less expensive homes put in there, because trees are a valuable resource. They increase the value of homes. So it's proven that it can be done and be economically profitable, because the same developer did it on Freeman Road, and I think that the same developer can do it also on Old South 3.
All right, thank you.
Sherry, and again, I don't mean to be putting you on the spot or anyone on the spot. I just really would like some input from folks. This is an exceedance of the zoning resolution, so it's a higher density than what is currently allowed. Thus, we're looking at the versions. Historically or in the past, there has been a strong outcry regarding that issue. You know, no more high density. And I agree with Mr. Dunkel. You know, I don't know what high density is. I mean, it's a relative term to a lot of people. So if this development were approved at its proposed density, how would you address any concerns about the issue of, well, there you go again, ignoring the zoning resolution?
I would say we missed the boat when we did the first zoning resolution, that we changed it, 2 weeks ago, where the Zoning Commission had asked for a lower density for the rezoning. So I'm trying to remember now what the original numbers are, but I think it got bumped back up to the 1.8 and the 2.4, where there were lower numbers that could have been there. I think that's the first thing, is to revisit the zoning plan and to codify it as this lower density, and then to stop. These folks are already deep into the process. We need to stop it sooner before we've gotten to this stage. I would love to see Genoa keep the rural feel, where you've got one house on 2 acres the further out that you go. But that's me. Mm-hmm. The rest of the township, 76% said that they didn't want the density that they saw going into that property that was further north.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
Well,
and I'm later to the game than a lot of folks, so I'm still building my history now.
Yeah. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, who else? Come on up. Sure, come on up.
Rod Ferguson, 6566 Charles Road. I just want to say one quick thing. It's like when these three parcels were purchased, mm-hmm. they were well aware of what the current zoning codes were.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want to say.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Any comments? Very good. All right. At this time, we'll have applicant's response. David? Joe?
I'll stand by my earlier comments that this, I think, is really more about quality than it is about density. I want everybody in here to understand, I've been doing this a long time, and I never deal in threats, because threats don't really work out very well for anybody. I don't know whether every tree on that site is going to be cut down, which is what the pure definition of clear cut is. What I do know is that when you, what we call, balance a site for development without any restriction on what you have to do, you send the dozers and the pans in there and you figure out how to make the site work for the 14 houses. Whereas the plan we're proposing, we would have to work around the topography and the ponds we're planning on putting in and the drainage we're planning on putting in. So don't want you to think I'm saying, if you don't do it our way, by golly, Joby Tree Service is going to be out there next week and cut every tree down. That's not my point. But my point is, this whole concept of site balancing, that property has been undeveloped for, with the exception of a couple of houses, for 100 years. You know how much topsoil there is out there? You realize that you've got to get rid of all that topsoil to develop a site. That's why trees end up going, because you've got to strip all that topsoil off to get down to clay, to build houses, to put streets in. So I'm not saying every tree is going to go, but what I'm saying is the dignity of the site is not going to be respected to the same extent it will be under this plan. With respect to the houses, I can tell you that the demographics of where, is it Sherry? Where Sherry lives and the price points of the homes around where Sherry lives are a market that Roman LNUs builds their custom homes in. This site is not a market where Roman LNUs builds their custom homes. Look at the price point of the houses around them. Very nice homes. Roman LNUs simply can't afford to build homes in that price point. They've tried before, and I'm sorry, Johnny, you failed miserably, didn't you? I represented them at the time. And it's all about the trades they use, the craftsmen they use, that demand higher prices for the work they do. It's just a fact of the reality. That's why there are what's known in the Central Ohio community as production builders, semi-custom builders, and custom builders like Roman LNUs. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the houses around there like you folks' homes. Those are fine homes. What it does mean is that Roman LNUs on a large single-family home lot cannot afford to build those homes there, so the site would be more than likely sold to a production builder to come in and put 14 homes there. But remember what those 14 homes look like. There are no limitations on height. There are no limitations on architectural quality. So these houses can be all vinyl. These houses can be 4 or 5 bedroom homes that can pack plenty of children in them. By the way, this is not meant to be threats. It's just the reality of the situation of different kinds of building products built in different areas and the way it all comes into being. You're absolutely right, Mr. Ferguson, that 20 years from now, people with families are going to could look at these homes, but I would challenge you to say how many people with families want to live in a house with 2 bedrooms and a bonus room upstairs that really isn't designed as a bedroom. You can buy them, but they're pretty expensive, and there's better housing stock in Genoa Township and elsewhere within the Westerville School District for people that have a family that want to put that family in a home. Mr. Dunkel raised the point about, it's sort of interesting, it's a bit of a trifecta here, that you end up with 4 more homes, but probably at a much higher price point, paying higher taxes, with few or no children in the schools, and no road and stormwater management system to take care of. It's sort of a trifecta to the township, if you think about it, for 4 homes. And so that's why I stand by the comment I made earlier that while I appreciate and respect, I've been doing business here for a long time in Genoa Township, and I certainly respect your code and the people with this township that work so hard and are so diligent in the work they do, but I got to tell you, this one is really more about quality than it is about density. And I can tell you that it's going to work out fine either way. It will. Mr. Romanelli is well resigned to the fact that this may end up with 14 homes, and he's okay. We'll go our merry way. I'll shake everybody's hand up here tonight. We're not going to leave here mad, but I think you got to look at the opportunity that we present to you tonight and say, is it really worth it for 4 homes in terms of what we get for the 4 homes that we don't get for the 14 homes? Thank you.
Could you clarify something for me? Because earlier this evening you said that Roman LNUs was going to build either way, 14 or 18. You then said that you're going to sell to a production builder and you're not going to build. Then you followed that up by saying you're going to stay here and build either way, 14 or 18. Which one is it?
I meant we're going to develop either the 14 lots or the 18 lots.
Roman LNUs?
Roman LNUs is going to develop the lots. If the 18 lot proposal was approved, RONUs will build their empty nester product. If the 14 homes is where we end up, Johnny, what are the, is there, I suppose there's some possibility RONUs would build those homes?
I would just add, Johnny, if you would mind coming up and get, at least getting on a microphone to respond. Or, Johnny, you also need to be sworn in to be official. You saw, raise your right hand.
Johnny Romanelli.
Solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, self, God.
Yes.
Very good. Thanks, Johnny.
No, I think to the point to where we can try to do the 14 homes, but legally, if it doesn't work for us, we're able to sell to other builders as well.
Then there was a correction to your statement that there is no building heights if it's sold to a production home or at 14 units, and there is.
But I said two-story homes. You said that there wasn't. No, I meant you could build two-story homes.
Yes, you are correct. But we do have a building height limitation.
Absolutely, 35 feet, I think, yeah.
Yes.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thanks, Johnny.
Honey, any questions?
Not at this point. I've got board comments, so yes. When we get there.
Yep, okay.
Okay.
All right, now we'll get into board discussion. I guess one of the issues, and it goes back to some of the previous meetings and the Zoning Commission, it seems interesting, and I don't know what happened. I don't know why. I think we need to look at the process. We have a process here in the township. We have the Zoning Commission. We have the trustees. Trustees are elected. Zoning Commissions are appointed by the trustees. And, I will be the first to admit I have not supported all of the decisions made by the Zoning Commission because I feel some of the decisions were not based, were not legally sound, and other reasons, and just not thoroughly discussed. So we have hearings, we have a list of people who were there, were testifying in opposition to the development as far as goes against the plan because a requested density far exceeds the amount allowed in the comprehensive plan and zoning resolution. Infrastructure cannot handle too much density, overcrowded, and feels the commission should not approve all of the divergence. Stated that no one came to his house to speak to him. Suburban residential subdivision would be preferable. But there were folks in here that testified against the development at the Zoning Commission meeting. And to several of the speakers' credit tonight, they were there and they have been consistent in their message. But then at the last hearing we had, there was a 180-degree change in several of these individuals' position relative to this development. All of a sudden now they are in support of the condominium development. And I guess I'm just curious, and unfortunately they're not here, but Mr. Fisher or Joe or anyone, any explanation? I mean, what caused that to happen? And are we, what failed in the current process that we have, our structured process of the Zoning Commission trustee hearing, which we're having tonight, that did not result in that same outcome or different outcome?
Well, I suppose my view is somewhat at variance with yours because the history is correct. But what I'd also ask you to think about is a much longer history. A history of working with me and Vince Romanelli over the years and Joe Luby and the zonings we brought forth, where I do think that there's a long history of us working hard to reach compromise with the Zoning Commission, reach compromise with interested neighbors, reach compromise with the trustees, and try to make these matters a win-win for all involved. And I can cite an awful lot of examples when I think back of developments we've done where we've merged parkland requirements from three different zoning districts, for example, to make parkland work, or cut densities down because people said we just really don't want to see that much. And I think that's what happened here. What happened here was
that there was an opportunity to take some units off and to garner some support from people that said, we don't want to see that high a density that we brought through the Zoning Commission. What's interesting is, you know, it's been a long time now since we've been at the Zoning Commission on this deal, but what's interesting is I can remember some of the votes at the Zoning Commission and some of the consternation of some of the Zoning Commission members and some of the shock on the faces of some of the Zoning Commission members when they saw some of their fellow members vote against this and they thought they were going to vote for it. What's interesting is while density was an issue and always is an issue, what's interesting, the biggest issue, as I recall, at the Zoning Commission was our request for a divergence on the 25 acres. That was what really sealed the fate of this for some of the Zoning Commission members, that they shouldn't, that there was a reason the code put forth that 25 acres, and that needed to be respected. So, and by the way, that was one I didn't really see coming there. And so I look back at this, Mr. Gephardt, and say, "Yep, you're right about the history of this deal. I'm not gonna challenge you on that. But I also think if you think on a more broad-based level, think back of Mr. Romanelli and his team simply do this different than other people. I think we always have. I think we always will. And if you choose not to approve this tonight, you know we're going to be back with a smile on our face sometime in the future, and we're going to use the same approach to try to do the best we can for the township, to build the highest quality housing stock we can, to make sure that we stay in good stead with the residents and with the Zoning Commission and with the trustees. That will always be our goal. So we're not going to leave here tonight with our tail between our legs regardless of the outcome of this. I stand by my earlier comments. I mean, yes, you can pick apart some of my comments. I don't know who's going to build these houses in the end, Mr. D'Antonio. What I do know is that a price point home at a certain level with vinyl siding is probably not the product that Roma Unius builds for the reasons I stated earlier. But will they build half of them? Will they build all of them? Will they build none of them? I don't know. But I think there's a higher likelihood that they won't build them under the 14 lot development than there is will they build them, and I know they'll build them at the higher density we're asking for on this development. Maybe I didn't answer your question, but I certainly tried as best of my abilities. And I do think that's what differentiates Mr. Owen-Lay's development team. You know, I come up and I see these hearings done by others. I hope you never feel we try to push you around or try to beat on our chest and say, this is what's going to happen if we don't do this. And I'm sorry, if anything that I've said throughout this whole process, anybody in this whole room takes as a threat that if you don't do it our way, this is what's going to happen to you. It was simply talking about development principles that apply for different kinds of development.
And I'm not sure there was an answer to that question, to be perfectly honest. I mean, it was more of an observation and
right,
opinion.
Right.
But, you know, the last thing I think we as a township need to be establishing or giving the impression that we're establishing is a second process or another process that's outside the formal process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, look, I get it. The residents, and rightfully so, always have the right of referendum, and I'm sure that with the atmosphere at the time that you were proposing this, that has to be a concern and a factor in play. So, you know, with that being said, as a trustee, voted to move the referendum forward. That's not an issue in this case. What I want to make sure we happen, though, is that we strengthen, if we need to strengthen the current process of the Zoning Commission and public input and working with adjacent property owners, then that has to be a goal. Because if that process is broken, and I'm not saying whether it's the zoning resolution or the comp plan or whatever, if the process is broken, then we have to fix that, because we can't have a shadow process out there thinking that they are the new zoning commission or they're the ones that the developer go to get the final decisions made. Along those same lines, I also think it's very important that we do work closer with the surrounding residents. But that also has to be a factor in the overall picture, because to the points made by a couple folks, you know, there are legal things, legal laws. There are laws, and there's the zoning resolution that we are required to follow, whether we like it or not, and whether residents like it or not. And so if we just went by what people liked and didn't like, that's going to eventually create a problem for someone. So again, that has to be a factor in the overall discussion. It can't be the only factor we look at, but it has to be factored into the overall process. So I'm going to get off my soapbox.
Your comment, I guess, I'd make is we maybe should have spent longer at the zoning commission on this. Mm-hmm. We were focusing on density. Mm-hmm. Those people really didn't come forward. I think the difference in this zoning probably than some of the earlier ones we've gone through, and we've kind of refreshed everybody's memory about the diet, was there was probably more consensus with the residents early on in that one. Mm-hmm. And the residents chose not to really engage until after the zoning commission had voted on it.
Right.
And I think everybody, us and the residents, was kind of surprised that it was the 25-acre limitation that sort of carried the day there for at least some of the zoning commissioner members, not so density thing. But I absolutely agree with you. And I think it needs to be a consultative process. And no one wants to be bullied. Mm-hmm. You don't want us to come in here and bully you. The residents don't want us to come in here and bully you. And this is what we're going to do if we, which is what I said, I never deal in threats. That's not the way I do business.
Right.
You don't want to be bullied by, you've got a job to do. You don't want to be bullied by somebody who's trying to usurp your authority, be they a developer or a resident or whomever. We all have a role in this. Yep. And I think that what we've learned perhaps over the last 6 or 9 months, all of us, is maybe there are some pieces and parts of the process that we could all do better at. And I'd sure take that on from the developer side of the equation to say we need to be better at it.
Okay. Frank, Connie, comments, questions?
I have a few things. I'll go ahead and get started. First off, I want to thank you for getting the updated letters. I know that was one thing I requested last time, and I just feel better to have crossed those T's and dotted those I's. The other thing that I appreciate is the addition of a handicap space. Having been a recent user of them, I very much appreciate them. So thank you on both of those. I know in here, again, there's the wetland discussion, and I'm still a huge proponent of I want them to stay in Genoa Township. I know that's not an option, but for the record, I want to go out there and say I wish we could keep them here in our own township. That's not how the Army Corps of Engineers does it. And again, as Trustee Gebhardt just said, that's a law we can't control. My main concern on this is Divergence 3. It's the one that is asking for what I'm calling a what-if divergence for the common open space that the pond may cut into. I'm having real trouble with this one. I really, really am. I've looked at the diagrams, and I've read this in here. It talks about that less embankment is more desirable aesthetically than a smaller pond with deeper embankments. I also understand the safety concerns. There's a shelf there, but there's a retirement community or not. Grandkids come to visit. Mine do. So I'm really, really concerned about this third divergence. Personally, when I look at this, I would much rather see a divergence for the 100% cluster and a divergence for a little higher density, because we're still looking at the same number of houses. We've got 18 houses here. You know, they're going to be the same style of homes. They're still cluster homes. Nothing is really changing, except that we're asking for maybe we need this divergence, and it's something that we can't determine. It's out of our control. It's again, into county sewer, whoever does that kind of pond stuff. I'm most concerned that this will set an undesirable precedent going forward. And I know we say that each hearing is based on its own merit, but I can't wait till the next time a developer comes in and says, I just might need this, let's just put it in here. I don't like that concept. And I have to say, I'm not sure I can support this with that divergence being present. I, from my own perspective, the acreage is not an issue. The number of houses is not an issue. You know, we're talking about the same density. We're talking about the same acreage. I'd rather have us put back in the one for 100% cluster than to have a we're not sure we need it divergence.
So. Joe, let me ask. Can I just have a little sidebar?
Absolutely.
That, Joe, can we live without that divergence and develop as conservation volunteers?
Yes.
So what Joe said, we'll give you your cake and eat it too, Connor. We'll delete the divergence, but we'll live with the conservation development standards, the lower density, and no need for a divergence on cluster. We'll simply delete divergence 3.
And you'll make it work.
Make it work.
So you're down then to 2 divergences.
Joe's going to make it work.
Joe's going to make it work. So let me just make sure. We're down to the required acreage less than 25 and the density at 2.45, not 2.2.
We're going to remain with conservation development standards,
okay,
which gets its 2.2.
Correct.
So it's the difference, the divergence, the difference between 2.45 and 2.2.
And 2.2. So we've got 2 divergences, not 3.
Right. And by the way, I'd note at the Zoning Commission, we were at 4.
So. Okay.
So does that change the number of units? So what is the number of units today?
And the amount of open space is still the same because I calculated the open space without the pond like you're supposed to. So all those numbers are still the same.
And you promised me you're not coming back here for something later.
Well, I got some tricks on my sleeve that I can pull with county engineers.
Tricky Joe, huh?
It'll challenge us in the engineering process to make sure the pond stays the size that it's planned.
Okay.
That's an issue for us, and we'll make that happen.
I appreciate that. That was the one a pill I couldn't swallow. So
we will amend our application, Mr. Chair, to delete divergence 3 and all references to it. I would note that request came from several different sources along the way to say, can't you make it? You know, it's interesting, the township, in fact, I noticed in your most recent amendments, you've actually taken out a whole section of the code. You know, it's interesting, you have these sections in the code and they lead people to ask, well, why can't you just use that section? And so this was a valiant attempt on our part to use that section with a little fear and trepidation, which is why we asked for the maybe kind of sort of divergence if we can get it.
And I appreciate that. I mean, I think I was one that probably questioned that early on about you're so close. But I think so close needs to be concrete. You know, it doesn't need to be we may need this.
Right.
So I appreciate your removing that divergence. Yeah, that's all I have at this time.
So just, I guess, for the record, I guess what I said earlier then wouldn't hold true because it appears that they believe that they can amend the request, take out that request, but not need to put the cluster housing divergence back in. So that's a little contrary to what I said during my presentation.
Great.
So we're now down to 2 divergences. The site is supposed to be 25 acres, and it's, depending on how you measure it, it's either 9.54 or 8.97. Correct?
That's
correct. So it's only 35%, 36 to be exact. It's only 36% of the requirement. It's not even half. It's not even 80%, 90%. It's not close. It's a far stretch. The second divergence, then, is to go to 2.45 units, correct? And the current zoning is 1.8.
The current zoning? 2.2. Are you talking about the current
2.2.
zoning district? Or because we're at the conservation development standards, we got to 2.2.
So that is approximately then a 15% increase in round numbers. The 15% is close. Okay? It's close. 15% over the request. But the 74% request for variance, divergence, whatever you want to call it, exception, special permission from the required 25 is just excessive. And I cannot support that.
Joe, what was, this is the exact same scenario that we have, with the Max Stallion, the Vietcong, where we had three homeowners. I mean, the whole issue of infill, and that's what this is.
Yeah.
So what we're basically doing, if we were to approve this plan as currently proposed, we basically have set the precedent, if you will, for at least a basis from for infill-type development. So if someone were to come along and buy the next three houses next to Gracie's place, there would be very little legal basis for us to say, we can't approve that.
I don't know if I'd go as far to say that there's very little legal basis,
right.
Number one, because I'm not an attorney, and number two, because we do try to look at these on a case-by-case basis. I mean, yes, if that divergence were to be approved, yes. Is it likely that subsequent developers will try to point back at this and say, well, you approved it for them? Yeah, they will do that, probably.
Sure.
So that will happen. Whether or not legally that justifies granting that request, I don't think I can comment on that. But it is something we'd at least have to be cognizant of and aware. Now, of course, if we ever made a subsequent amendment to the resolution that addressed this issue or whatnot, or circumstances change in the future, that could all go out the window. So I'm not willing to say it's 100% a precedent that we're stuck with, but it is something we'll have to be mindful of going forward.
As opposed to, as we mentioned at the last meeting, the Zoning Commission was given a charge a while back to come up with a way, and I think it was in response to a couple of the condo developments that had been proposed and had been approved, and I approved them. I believe in both cases, at least one, overrode the Zoning Commission, who knows. But we do need to address this issue of infill and how that is being looked at as opposed to a parcel of land, whether this 9 acres was sitting out there all by itself, or whether it was where houses used to be in a residential development and now something else is going in. And I don't know if I'm asking a question or making a statement. It's not like I'm making more of a statement, but again, that's the issue that I'm concerned with, is similar to what we have in Planning Area 4, where we approve PRDs, we approve the density at 1.6, 1.4, whatever that density was, and now it's hard to put that genie back in the bottle.
Can be.
Can I answer that question?
Sure. Directly? Yeah, I wish you would.
Because it really kind of goes to what Mr. D'Antonio had to say as well. In your code, you have a concept of divergences.
Doesn't really qualify what divergences are. It's meant to be in your legislative discretion. And that is your role in this process. And so while I respect Mr. D'Antonio's math in terms of, and I respect his opinion, he can't support it, by the way, at that level, it does. Your divergence language doesn't say you can diverge this far, but you can't diverge this far. Nor does it say you can have one, but you can't have 10. But what I think the intent, and you're not the only township that has the concept of divergences, what I think the intent is to provide a framework to work with whomever the applicant may be through the processes to say, you don't fit squarely within each and every provision of our code, but we will work with you through the divergence process to try to make a project that we otherwise feel is worthy of consideration and perhaps approval, we'll try to make it work through the use of the divergence process. So I think to operate out of the fear, or maybe fear is not the right word, the concern that some other developers are going to come in and say, well, you gave those guys a divergence on this down there. Yeah, but let's look at what all happened on that zoning. You can't just, any developer, I can tell you when I'm sitting in the chair, I'm not going to pick and choose. I'm going to take the divergence from this and the divergence from this. You guys are going to hammer me for that. You're not going to allow me to do that, and I hope you wouldn't allow anybody else to do it. But what I would hope you would do would say, well, David, you know, yeah, you're right. We gave that to Joe Blow or Sally Smith on some other one, but look what else Joe and Sally did in return for that, that you're not offering here. I really think that's the purpose of divergences and where it really enters into both you and your zoning commission's legislative discretion to say, does this zoning overall merit our consideration for divergences? So Connie said tonight, I'm not in on the pond. I'm not in on that one. And Frank says, I'm not in on that one. That's your legislative discretion. So far be it. I feel sorry for the poor developer that would ever come in here, even if you would approve this and say, well, you gave it to them, I'm entitled to it, because it depends on the facts and circumstances of the case at the time.
Of each part. I totally understand it, and I agree in concept with that. I mean, it goes back to the same issue of, you know, 2.2 units per acre is problematic for some people, especially in the northern part of the township, but point to the number of developments that have gone in at 2.2 units per acre. There aren't. So somehow the process does work.
Right. Yep.
It's not as scary as you think it could be. Not that it couldn't be, but it isn't. So, okay.
Mr. Gebhardt,
yes.
I think you had mentioned about the infill district.
Yeah, right.
So I will speak a couple of years ago, and this was sort of going on the same time we were working on the 2016 comprehensive plan update. And Ms. Goodman, you were on the zoning commission at the time, so feel free to chime in. But the commission, actually, when I started in August of 2015, I think one of my first meetings was reviewing a potential draft infill zoning district development. And then if I recall, what happened is there was a lot of negative public feedback, and the commission said, oh, okay, there doesn't seem to be a lot of appetite for this right now. We're going to put this, they essentially tabled it. It wasn't a formal vote because they never even got to the point of initiating anything. They just, we're not talking about this anymore. There just obviously wasn't public appetite for it. So when it comes down to an infill district, it's sort of a choice between you want to admit, well, it's going to happen, so let's at least put rules and parameters around it that sort of sets the playbook for everyone and clearly establishes what the rules for them are going to be. Or do we not want to establish that, leave them as PRDs, and sort of judge everything on a case-by-case basis? And there's pros and cons to each of those scenarios. The pros and cons is the more prescriptive it is, typically, you know, the developer's got more rules now that they got to follow, or different sets of rules. And it also is the township saying, well, we're going to allow them. They're going to happen. As long as they meet X, Y, and Z, they're going to happen. Taken by a case-by-case basis is leaves a lot of uncertainty for elected officials, the developer, and the public, because now you're talking about divergences and case-by-case basis, and maybe it will get approved, maybe it won't. So I'm certain the commission, you know, they're always open-minded to looking at these types of issues, and they've had those discussions previously, and I'm sure we'll end up having them again, because I think it even came up during the latest zoning resolution amendment discussion with the commission about possibly needing to revisit that issue. So I just wanted to, I guess, to some degree, defend the zoning commission, because I do think they did make an effort at one point,
yes.
And there was a lot of early on in this sort of heated density debate here in the township, at least in my tenure, there was a lot of reaction to that. Now, I do know, I think, I can't remember if it was on the record, if I just remember hearing at a site walk that someone was walking on these properties and said, oh, gee, if we would have had that district in there, they wouldn't have been able to do this, or at least there would have been rules to prevent them from doing this, that, or the other thing. So that goes to the pros and cons of each approach.
And if I might just add, having been on the Zoning Commission, I recall a lot of that discussion, and you mentioned allowing infill districts. I think part of the concept was, would we be allowing or encouraging? And so there was a feeling that we didn't want to encourage them, but they would be allowed through the divergence process. And as the discussion went on and on ad nauseum, it was pretty much decided that the infill at that time, was the section, was not needed because anything could be handled through a divergence process.
Yes.
So.
All right. Script here. Divergence review. We'd like to just go through that so we officially are on the record as having discussed those. The board reviewed each divergence request against the standards set forth in section 9-16-OTL of the country zoning resolution to determine if such a request is warranted. Section 9.1-02L. For the benefit of those who will be listening to the audio, I will quickly read through this. Specific statements of divergence shall be requested per plan, unquote. If any deviation from the resolution or existing county regulations or standards are desired, an applicant making such a request shall specifically and separately list each requested divergence and submit written development text justifying each deviation from any requirements of this resolution and demonstrating how each divergence will advance public interest in the general purposes of this zoning resolution by promoting one or more of the following purposes. Item number one, the conservation and protection of natural resources, scenic areas, wildlife habitat, and historic and unique natural features of the land. Number two, the health, safety, morals, and general welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Genoa Township. Number three, the quality of life within Genoa Township through the protection of the total environment and the prevention of nuisances and hazards and the provision of adequate light, air, and convenient access to property. Number four, the assurance of the compatibility of land uses which are either adjacent or in proximity to each other. Five, the orderly development of all lands within the township to its appropriate use. And six, the most appropriate use of land to facilitate and provide adequate public and private improvements. Unless a deviation from development standards is specifically approved by a divergence, the same shall be complied with. Again, divergence number one being requested, divergence from section 903.01 to reduce the minimum required planned residential development tract size from 25 acres to approximately 9.54 acres, or approximately 8.97 gross acres following a right-of-way reduction. Joe, do we need to discuss each of those individually?
I don't know if you necessarily need to go through all six. I mean, for each one of these divergences requests, you certainly can. That's sort of how the BZA handles it in their Duncan Middlefield standards. My suggestion would be to just look over those six and the board for to discuss, are there one or more of those that you feel like this divergence, in essence, I think what's the wording, promotes?
Nice.
And if so, why? That would at least get on the record, you know, where each member, or at least the board, as a general matter, falls on those. I think that's the best course of action for the public discourse and the record.
Okay.
But it's totally up to you.
Any thoughts or comments on the first divergence?
I do not see where it fits any of the, I don't see where it fits one or more of the six listed.
I could see it, the assurance of the compatibility of land uses which are either adjacent or in close proximity, especially since Orchard Lakes is to the direct south of this, abutting the southern property line, and there are additional condominium-type developments across Mount Royal. And it would also provide adequate public and private improvements to the site as opposed to what it is right now.
It would have to meet number six, it would have to provide the most appropriate use. That most is a pretty high standard.
And then my recommendation would be on the motion to cite those specific sections when you go through those divergences. Should we make a motion this evening?
Second divergence from section 903.02 to increase the maximum permitted density for a development utilizing conservation development standards from 2.2 units per net developable acre to approximately 2.45 units per net developable acre.
Again, I think that it's compatible land uses with Orchard Lakes, which is directly to the south, abutting that southern border. And this is only a 0.25 difference in the density that is allowed versus what it is.
But to the north, the west, and the east, it's not compatible.
Well, then if you look at number five, the orderly development of all lands within the township to its appropriate use, if you move from south to north, then it's an orderly development.
I don't have as much of a concern with 2.45 as I do, I guess, the first one, actually, simply because, again, going back to where the land is situated. I don't know. I guess I would be fine with number two. Any other comments on any of the divergence? And the third divergence, which was agreed to be removed, dealt with allowing the retention pond to be counted towards the open space, and that's been agreed that we will not be dealing with that. So that's a moot point at this point. Any other comments from the board before making the motion? All right, seeing none. I will move to concur with the Zoning Commission's recommendation of denial and thus deny the zoning map amendment requested by Vince Romanelli, the property owner of Via Romanelli Views Building Company, the developer, which sought to rezone approximately 9.54 acres, covering three parcels located at 6611, 6625, and 6663 South Old 3C Highway, serving suburban residential district to the planned residential district. As further described, detailed, and or illustrated in the materials of the subject application, also known as Grace's Place, Zoning Commission, ZC case number 2018-04, incorporating exhibit A through K. This motion to deny the zoning, the rezoning request, which in accordance with the Ohio Revised Code chapters 2505 and 2506 may be appealed to the Delaware County Common Pleas Court, is based on the following findings of fact and conclusion. The exceedance of the zoning resolution densities, and based on the exceedance of the comprehensive plan densities for planning area 1, and does not meet the 25-acre zoning resolution for tract size. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. Now we discuss.
For clarification, this is a motion. The Zoning Commission denied the rezoning application, correct?
That is correct.
And this is a motion to agree to the Zoning Commission's denial.
That's correct.
Correct.
So to further clarify, a yes vote would mean that it is upholding the Zoning Commission. A no vote would mean it is not, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Any comments? Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
No.
Mr. Gephardt.
Yes. Motion carries. I know there are going to be people not happy with us on either side, but I really look forward to working through this whole process. I think this is a very important project to cause us to move forward with the issue of what has been termed infill development. As I stated in my initial comments at the last meeting, I have really stressed over this decision. Trying to figure out how we could just keep prolonging it, but I couldn't. And Mr. Romanelli, this is no reflection on you, your company, or the type of developments that you do. I live in one of your houses. I think you are a quality developer. You cooperate and coordinate with the township, and this is in no way a reflection on you or how you handle the process. This goes to a bigger issue in our township relative to zoning, development in general, and I think we have to take the bull by the horns and get this issue addressed so that there is clarity not only for the developers but more importantly for the residents of the township. And we have a process in place that everyone feels as comfortable about as they can. So, any other business coming before the board?
Just for the clarity of the record, and I know it's going to seem belt and suspenders, but I would recommend making a motion on the preliminary development plan.
Okay. So since we denied the or upheld the zoning commission's recommendation of denial, I would assume that that would be the same for the development plan
as
well. All right. See if I can find it.
Should be page 7.
Page 7. Thank you. I will move to concur with the Zoning Commission's recommendation of denial and thus deny the preliminary development plan proposed by Vince Romanelli, the property owner by Romanelli Hughes Building Company, the developer of to construct 18 single-family detached cluster condominium homes on approximately 9.54 acres, covering three parcels located 6611, 6625, 6663, South 03C Highway, all currently zoned suburban residential development, suburban residential district, SR, or further detailed and illustrated in the materials of the subject application, also known as Grace's Place, ZC case number 2018-04, incorporating exhibits A through K. This motion to deny the subject preliminary development plan, which is in accordance with the Ohio Revised Code 2505 and 2506, may be appealed to Delaware County Common Pleas Court, is based on the following findings of fact. One, that request for rezoning has been denied, and that it exceeds the zoning commission, the zoning resolution density. It exceeds the comprehensive plan zoning for planning area 1 density, and does not meet the required 25-acre lot size, parcel size. Is there a second?
Second.
The motion been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes. The motion carries. Any other business coming before the board? Hearing none, I will make a motion to adjourn at 8:03 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes. The motion carries. We stand adjourned.